For a radio audience, can you describe what the Atlanta Historic Block Party depicts, what it looks like?
Sure. It's basically just a blog where I go block by block through the city of Atlanta and sort of dig as deep as I can into the history of that block. And so it's hopefully as many pictures as I can find. I wanted it to be as entertaining for the masses as possible, even though I didn't really expect anyone to read it. So I'll just have like a little bit of information and then picture and then information and picture. But it's fairly robust. I mean, the posts are pretty long.
So where did you get the idea for this? Where did this come from?
The idea came from grad school. I went to Georgia State University, and I had a historic preservation class where we were assigned basically a block and then told to, you know, basically do that, dig into the history of the block, the built environment. And I really enjoyed it, so I decided to basically do it until I didn't enjoy it anymore.
Is this just a favorite pastime of yours now, or do you have an agenda? I mean, after all, it is a blog, and I've looked at it, and there are some editorial comments injected here and there.
Sure. I don't really have an agenda necessarily, but it is mine, so I kind of have my opinions. But I do try to keep that to a minimum. Mostly I just did it for myself because I enjoy it. And then I thought if somebody did read it, maybe they'd learn something about Atlanta in the process.
Your principal resources that you use to resurrect a block in Atlanta, what do you draw on?
Well, a little bit of everything, but I start with maps. I'm just kind of a map fan in general. So there's these bird's eye view drawings of Atlanta, and I use those. Those are really great resources to kind of give you a picture of what the city looked like at the time. And then there's Sanborn fire insurance maps. Those aren't very neat to look at, but they're interesting to kind of tell you what was on the block at the time. There's lots of photographs and things that have been digitized at the Atlanta History Center and Georgia State, UGA, Digital Library of Georgia, all of these places where I can just kind of sit at a desk and find wonderful things.
The bird's eye view illustrations that I've seen on your blog.
Yes.
They were drawn in the late 19th century, right? I mean, and were they drawn for many cities? Because they're really amazing when you think about it, when you look at that and you think, gosh, that is actually what the block looked like at that particular time, that year.
Sure.
And someone drew the whole thing.
Yeah, I would actually love to know kind of more about how they were done, but they are for cities all around the country. For Atlanta, we have 1872, 1892, and 1919. And I don't know how they did them because, you know, they're from the air, but they didn't have super tall skyscrapers or airplanes or things. So, yeah, I'm not sure how they were done. I guess they were just really good at what they did. But there are some for cities all over the country. So if you just Google any city you're interested in, particularly a big city, chances are there's going to be a bird's eye view, at least of some point in the history of that city.
Given that Atlanta is a relatively young city compared to, say, Boston or New York or Philadelphia, I mean, basically the city started from scratch after the Civil War.
Right.
Does that make it easier to resurrect our past?
I'm not sure. I haven't tried to resurrect Boston's past, so I can't really compare. But the Civil War gives you kind of a nice place to start because you know that its chances aren't that great that something was there before the Civil War. So when something was, it's pretty exciting.
So you've got three blocks that you've resurrected so far.
Okay.
I'm looking at Turner Field, which is one that was pretty interesting. What was the big watershed moment in history that really changed that area? Was it urban renewal in the 60s?
I would say urban renewal. It basically completely changed the way that whole area looked. It had since then developed more or less naturally as from a residential area with its own commercial district. And then with urban renewal, you know, people, the powers that be decided that what was ugly and what wasn't and what needed to go and what should stay. And so they basically just raised it, and then they decided they needed a stadium, and so that was a good place for the stadium. So it's completely 100% different now than it was then, and that was sort of the big changing moment was the decision to bulldoze what was there and then replace it with a stadium, and that basically had to do with urban renewal.
I found it interesting that, Piedmont Hospital had its origin in that area, not called by that name at the time, but and correct me if I'm wrong here, but it started out, the hospital did, as a doctor who owned a stately home there in that area decided that he was going to treat patients in his home and then basically converted his home into a hospital and took up an entire city block. And I'm thinking, obviously there were no zoning laws in those days.
Right. Or they were just a lot different. Yeah. Yeah, he had a home. It was a pretty wealthy neighborhood at the time, and then wanted to treat even more patients and saw this home that was up for grabs, then he figured, oh, that would be a nice place to do it.
Looking at your recreation of the Turner Field area and Peachtree Street, it's obvious that everyone pretty much lived in town. in the late 19th century. There were no real suburbs as we know them today. So that struck me. And also it struck me that, boy, there was a lot of money in town.
Sure.
I mean, if you had dough, you wanted a Peachtree Street address.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess from the late 1880s up until the early 20th century, Peachtree was just one magnificent Victorian mansion after another.
Lots of it was. It started, you know, down in Five Points where there were mansions. And then as the business district kind of spread out, the homes moved north on Peachtree. And so kind of up towards Midtown. And then you did get the Atlanta's first streetcar suburb, Inman Park, at the end of the 19th century. But mostly, yeah, things were in town. And I know I read something once that, you know, people in these mansions on Peachtree were kind of getting annoyed that the business district was kind of encroaching on their neighborhood and it kept having to move northward. And then you get places like Buckhead and Tuxedo Row in the 20th century, where or Tuxedo Park, rather, where the rich people just kind of decided to plant their neighborhood in a new place that was kind of off the beaten path a little bit so that they could have their glorious mansions forever and ever. Amen.
It is a blog after all.
Yeah.
Okay. So what determines which blocks you're going to bring under your scrutiny?
Yeah,
is it the most modern ones that have changed the most? Or
not necessarily. It's actually a really good question. It's pretty random, I guess. So far, I've just kind of picked something that I thought, oh, this might be interesting to see what went down here, or something that I already kind of knew the story and knew it was interesting and just kind of needed to fill the gaps. But like for the Turner Field one, I thought, you know, that, well, that's kind of topical. People, there's all this controversy over the move to Cobb County. And I thought, you know, I knew that there was some controversy about the 96 stadium and then also the 66 stadium. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, why is the stadium moving and all the controversy surrounding that, but not a lot about the controversy surrounding the births of these stadiums in the first place. So that was kind of the impetus for that one. And then the others just, you know, I knew a thing or two about them and thought, it's a pretty cool story. Let's dig in.
Is there a practical use for this? And I'm saying that because I have a master's in history, mm-hmm. and everyone who studies history, you know, people always say, well, what are you going to do with that?
Right. Well, I think there is. I mean, on the one hand, I think it is practical to know what's in your city. I think a lot of people don't, and that's unfortunate. But I think more and more people are moving in town and kind of setting up shop in the city. And I think it's kind of a good thing to know what's here, what used to be here. There's a big drive now for sort of a walkable urban environment, and we lost a lot of that. And so I think looking back at what used to be a walkable urban environment is a good thing. And it's important not to idealize it because, you know, 1920s Atlanta certainly had its problems. But, you know, if you want a built environment that works for pedestrians, look at a place that, you know, didn't have cars or didn't have many cars. And then you can kind of see what steps to take with making changes to make sure that Atlanta is a walkable place for pedestrians.
So how can folks find your blog?
It is online at atlantablockparty.blogspot.com. And there's also a Facebook page, Atlanta Block Party.
Jeff Hetherington is the creator, founder, editor of the Atlanta Historic Block Party blog. Jeff, it's been a pleasure. Thanks.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, Steve.